This is case number 69477, Allen Management LLC Service, Series 5105, Portraits Place, Green Tree Loan Servicing LLC. If parties are ready, you may proceed. Please state your name and if you wish to reserve any time.
Justices, and may it please the court. My name is Kerry Faunin. I represent the appellant in this matter, Allen Management LLC, Series 5105, Portraits Place. I would like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal. The issue that is before the court today is whether the district court erred by applying Ninth Circuit bankruptcy law instead of Fifth Circuit bankruptcy law in determining the status of an alleged automatic stay violation. In this case, the debtor filed in Texas in the Fifth Circuit a bankruptcy case, which included the property that is at issue here today. The Websters, the debtors and former homeowners, chose to commence their case in Texas because they satisfied the jurisdictional requirements of the Fifth Circuit Bankruptcy Court, in particular, the bankruptcy court that sits in the Eastern District of the state of Texas. The Websters chose to have Texas federal exemptions under 11 U.S.C. 522 sub D sub 2 apply to their case.
Should we be concerned that this is not a proceeding in the bankruptcy court, but in the state court as to quiet title?
The concern should be that the district court not have jurisdiction to determine a stay violation that would be the exclusive jurisdiction of the Fifth Circuit where the bankruptcy was commenced. The Websters chose that. Greentree may attack the sale itself, but they can't attack it using violations of the automatic stay that they could not use in the Fifth Circuit, because the only people that have the power to challenge the stay or stay violations are the trustee and the debtor.
Was it interposed that this should have rightfully been before the bankruptcy court?
As to the quiet title, I think that the jurisdiction over the quiet title is rightfully before the district court.
Quite often you go into state court and the first thing out of counsel's mouth is that this is an issue that is properly before the bankruptcy court, and without permission of the court, this should not be before you. As of this issue, it needs to be stayed until we have a resolution. Was that done or attempted?
That was not attempted because the at the time of the argument as to the violation, we argued that the Fifth Circuit Court applies. And Fifth Circuit Court says that stay violations are voidable. So until someone with the authority to challenge the stay violation actually raised the challenge and deemed the matter void, it had no fatal effect on the sale itself.
Is the law so clear that since the property is local?
I'm sorry, the question again?
The property is local in Nevada?
The property is local, however.
And we look to state law or the interpretation of state law?
No, because the property was property of the estate. Because under bankruptcy law, under 28 U.S.C. 1334, the district courts have original exclusive jurisdiction of all cases under Title 11. The district court in which a case under Title 11 is commenced or pending shall have exclusive jurisdiction of all the property,
but
wherever located.
We're not talking
located.
About standing to be in federal bankruptcy court. We're talking about standing in applicable law as to being in Nevada state court and the use, as you're getting to, of that federal law.
The violation of the stay in the Fifth Circuit is, again, voidable. So in order for it to be void, there has to be a challenge to it. So until such time as there's a challenge, There is no application of the automatic stay in this case. However, in the district court, they applied the Ninth Circuit. In the Ninth Circuit, every act on its face is void, meaning there is no requirement to be a challenge. However, since the Websters chose the Fifth Circuit, I believe I've run out of time, but...
You have 10 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm reading the backwards. My apologies. In the bankruptcy court in the Fifth Circuit, given that that's where they chose, the application should be the law of the Fifth Circuit. And that is our issue, is the appropriate law to apply in this case.
I think that, since it's in state court, and I understand your argument, initially when the suit was filed in state court, maybe somebody could have filed a petition to remove it to bankruptcy court, and then the federal court would have had the case and been able to decide it. But since that didn't happen and it proceeded forward in state court, my understanding of the law, please correct me if I'm wrong, but when we look at federal law, it's only persuasive on us. We can interpret it however we wish to interpret it, and we would have the option to look at either the Fifth or the Ninth Circuit. That's the state court does. We're not compelled to follow the Fifth Circuit, nor are we compelled to follow the Ninth Circuit. If you think if that's incorrect, please let me know. Give me authority why that's wrong.
With all due respect to you, Justice, in this case, when the Websters chose to file bankruptcy and the property became an asset of the estate, it became the original and exclusive jurisdiction under 28 U.S.C. 1334. The exclusive jurisdiction as to that property is the bankruptcy court in which it's filed, and that is in the Fifth Circuit.
Right.
The respondent in this case does not have standing in the state court to raise a stay violation challenge when they didn't have that authority in the federal court. It's a federal defense. And that's
let me pause you for a moment. The cardinal rule of conflicts of law is you don't engage the analysis unless the conflict matters to the outcome of the case at bar. And I don't practice in the Fifth Circuit, but my understanding of what the Fifth Circuit stay law is that a foreclosure sale conducted in violation of the automatic stay, which this one was, is invalid unless you go back and validate the sale in the bankruptcy court. The Ninth Circuit, by contrast, is that it's void per se. But either way, nobody went back and tried to validate this foreclosure sale. So isn't this void under both Fifth and Ninth Circuit? And if so, why should we do anything other than affirm the summary judgment?
The fact that there's a distinction made between void and voidable means that there has to be an action taken to deem it void.
That's not the way I read the Ninth Circuit case law. You're saying that in the Ninth Circuit, in the Fifth Circuit, I misspoke.
No.
Thank you. My understanding of the Fifth Circuit is that a foreclosure sale conducted in violation of the automatic stay is void, just as it is in the Ninth Circuit, but in the Fifth Circuit, you can go back and have the bankruptcy court validate the otherwise void sale. So in that sense, it's voidable. If that's the case, if I'm wrong on that, then there is a conflict. But if I'm right on that, nobody went back to the Fifth Circuit bankruptcy court and said, hey, guys, can you validate this sale? Did they?
At this point, no, there has not been. And the reason being is because the position we take, I think that there's some confusion. Void is void on its face. Although if something's void on its face, you can go back and retroactively annul the stay. In this case, if you were to have to go back and do anything to validate the sale, it would defeat the purpose of having something be voidable. The fact that it's voidable, the language, the plain meaning of the word voidable means that someone has to take an action to deem it void.
Right, but Williams versus Countrywide Homes says, and I quote, a foreclosure sale conducted in violation of the automatic stay, and Texas is in the Fifth Circuit, remains invalid unless the bankruptcy court annuls the stay. That hasn't happened. So how do we get to a conflict in this case?
Was that a Texas?
Southern District of Texas citing Fifth Circuit law.
Well, the issue you have here is if it's void without some action to go back and deem it valid, then it defeats the purpose of having something be voidable. Voidable on its face.
Well, but you're arguing about we have to accept Fifth Circuit law as written. So I'm saying even if I credit your proposition and that it's not a local action, we look to the Fifth Circuit seems to be saying it's void unless you go back and annul the stay violation.
But except for in this case, you have an unknowing violation. And the court spoke to that. I'll make this very quick. In Sisney v. Robinson, the Texas Court of Appeals spoke to the fact that, and they stated, we answer the threshold question by noting that filing a complaint in an unknowing violation of the automatic stay is voidable, not void. That means that there would have to be an action taken. It's our argument that there would have to be an action taken to deem that void. You have an HOA that wasn't even noticed. They weren't even included. So it's an unknowing violation. And I think in this case, the real question here is that the bank did not have standing to even raise a challenge, which is what they're doing, raise a challenge to the sale by using a stay violation that they could not themselves have raised in the Fifth Circuit. So they're using that as a defense that they're not entitled to. With that, I would.
We'll give you a full 4 minutes here, 3:50, but we'll make it 4.
Thank you. Good morning, and may it please the court. Colt Dodrill for respondent Greentree Servicing LLC, now known as Ditech Financial LLC. This court should affirm the summary judgment entered against LN Management because the HOA foreclosure by which he claims title is void because of violations of the automatic bankruptcy stay. Based on recent decisions from this court, I'm not anticipating speaking about the other issues we briefed in this case. I think the bankruptcy issue is paramount and can resolve this. There's three issues I'd like to talk about. First is Greentree's standing to raise the defense of this state law claim in state court. Two, interpretation of the automatic bankruptcy stay to be void. And three, to Justice's comment that even if this court applies a voidable standard, that it still puts the onus on the purchaser to take some affirmative step to validate the sale. And if I could start with standing, in our supplemental briefs, we did let the court know that three unpublished decisions from this court specifically found that, of course, Greentree had standing to challenge the validity of the HOA sale as a means to protect the deed of trust. Counsel spoke a lot about federal law and federal standing, and I think the court got it right. We are not in bankruptcy court. We're not in the Fifth Circuit. The plaintiff is master of his complaint. If he wanted to file an adversary proceeding or open some action or file some motion in the Texas bankruptcy action, things might be different. But filed a quiet title action in Nevada state court, so the Nevada state laws regarding standing apply. Doe v. Bryan and Corey v. Kress talk about, is there a real judicial controversy and who has an interest in that litigation? Greentree, as the assignee of the deed of trust, has standing to protect its deed of trust. So this is an issue of state law. This court got it right before. And to answer Justice Gibbons' question earlier, to counsel, you're not bound by the Fifth Circuit, and you're not bound by the Ninth Circuit. This court ruled in 2003 in Custom Cabinets that you're not. On a federal question, you would be bound by the Supreme Court of the United States, which has not spoken to this issue, so you can interpret the statute de novo. And in 1998, this court in Lorenz specifically held that any action taken in violation of the automatic bankruptcy stay is void and of no effect. And the key word in there is the word the automatic bankruptcy stay. This court doesn't parse out and look at automatic bankruptcy stays California versus Texas versus New York, was it filed in Montana? No, we want a simple rule for the alienability of property and some certainty in litigation and certainty in the property as well. So we look to what this court has already ruled in terms of interpreting the automatic bankruptcy stay violation, and that's that it is void and of no effect. In fact, this court last year in a case also involving Greentree, which was SFR versus Ditech, said the violations of the automatic bankruptcy stay rendered that HOA foreclosure void, not voidable. And so I don't think there's an issue here, and I hadn't seen any case forcing this court or the trial court in the 8th Judicial District binding it to follow Fifth Circuit law. It's just simply not there. There's a federal statute. This court has interpreted it to render such sales void. We ask that this court follow that precedent that it set and similarly hold herein and affirm the summary judgment.
When was the bankruptcy proceeding closed in Texas, or was it ever closed? I assume it was a Chapter 7. Then.
It converted to 13. The trustee filed his initial, the final report on April 13, 2013. So
was it a 13 converted to a 7?
You know what? It was a 13. It was converted to the 7. What we look at, the key date here is September 21, 2012, when the Chapter 13 trustee specifically filed the document that abandoned this particular property. Okay. So while the bankruptcy may continue to go on, we know at least at that point that the property is not part of the stay. So the problem is, of course, the year earlier when Alessi & Koenig recorded the notice of default on October 4th, 2011. That's really the one document that violates the bankruptcy stay. The notice of lien was okay. Then the Websters filed bankruptcy in Texas. Then Alessi & Koenig filed the notice of default, the other two documents being the notice of trustee sale, and then ultimately the deed to LN Management were recorded after the abandonment. So if we look at the Nevada's HOA foreclosure statute, which this court has looked at many times and stated in SFR versus U.S. Bank, that it creates sort of this weird rule with an exception and an exception, which is highly unusual. We look at, do we have an HOA sale? If so, do we have a first deed of trust? If so, do we have a super priority sale that may extinguish that deed of trust? And if so, do we have exceptions or defenses? We don't even get past step one here because the notice of default was void for violating the bankruptcy stay. It was void under
the date of the notice of default was prior to the abandonment by the trustee under Chapter 13.
Correct, by 13 months.
Okay.
So that means the notice of trustee sale is invalid under state law because we don't have a good notice of default. And therefore, the sale couldn't go forward and the trustee sale couldn't go forward. And then finally, speaking to Justice Pickering's point in terms of the Fifth Circuit law, two things are important. One, if this property were in Texas and LN Management filed a state action in Texas, Texas itself does not follow Sykes versus Global Marine out of the Fifth Circuit. Violations in Texas, and we cited Payne v. Seeley, which adopts the Texas Supreme Court's decision, says it's still void. So maybe in federal court it's voidable, and Texas state courts under the Howard decision, it's void. And even in Texas federal cases where we're talking voidable, the term voidable is a misnomer. They make it clear. Payne v. Seeley, which rejects Sykes, still says even under Sykes versus Global Marine, the action was void unless subsequently validated by an order of the court. So
what I was saying is correct, because that seems unusual, but that's how I read the Texas case law, that this is a void sale under Fifth Circuit law unless somebody goes in and annuls the, so it's sort of inverted voidability.
That's correct, and that's why I use the term misnomer, and perhaps
misnomer is better than inverted voidability.
Validability doesn't make sense, but essentially LN Management or maybe even the HOA or their foreclosure agent could go in and either file a motion to retroactively lift stay or perhaps file an adversary proceeding in the bankruptcy.
But absent that, even in Texas federal district court, like let's say this was in the Southern District of Texas federal district court, this sale still would be void unless someone went into the bankruptcy court and had the bankruptcy court exercise the automatic stay violation somehow.
Correct.
Okay.
And then And Judge Smith in the lower court recognized that, well, maybe there's some bankruptcy issues. And so he stayed, again, pardon the pun, but he stayed the effect of the summary judgment to allow LN Management the opportunity for 60 days to go
and do something. So they could have gone to the southern, wherever the bankruptcy was pending, and say, bless this, and exercise the stay violation.
Correct. And then I would have had to oppose a Rule 60 motion based on something. And that never happened, and it's not in the record. So under the choice of law analysis, you're right. If there is no difference, we don't have to look at what law applies. I still like custom cabinets. You're not bound by a federal appellate court decision. Let's look at what's the rule in Nevada. The rule in Nevada is this court 20 years ago adopted Schwartz and said violations of the automatic bankruptcy stay are void.
And what case is that?
That is Lorenz versus Belcio, 114 Nevada, 795.
I have it. Thanks.
You bet. And that court made it clear that the court where other litigation exists, meaning a state court, may construe the automatic bankruptcy stay. And that's exactly what this court did 20 years ago. And we ask that this court rule similarly herein and find that the HOA sale here is void. And unless the court has any questions.
Any additional questions? Mrs. Stricker?
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you, Justices. The issue here is the application of the appropriate law. And in this case, we can talk about, well, the Fifth versus the Ninth, but the fact of the matter is the Ninth Circuit bankruptcy law was applied in this case. It's not the correct law. We don't know what would have happened if he had applied, if Judge Smith had applied the Fifth Circuit, because he didn't do that. But the bottom line is the Fifth Circuit still has the exclusive jurisdiction over the property. And applying the Ninth Circuit law was inappropriate based on the fact that the Fifth Circuit was the appropriate law to be applied. So while we can argue the Ninth and the Fifth, the fact of the matter is in this case, the law that was applied was the improper law. And if at a minimum, it should be reversed or remanded to have the Fifth Circuit law applied. Because while we can speculate as to void and voidable, the fact of the matter is if the Fifth Circuit wanted to make it void, it could have made it void like the Ninth Circuit does. And then you have to seek a retroactive annulment of the stay. That's not what they did.
Counsel incorrect when he indicated that the time was given to allow the parties to go back to bankruptcy court?
But at that point, he had already indicated he was going to apply Ninth Circuit law. So it would have been a futile act to go to the Fifth Circuit to seek to have it the sale, the NOD validated because of the fact that he wasn't applying that law. So therefore, it would have been an application he had already rejected by applying the Ninth Circuit law. One, we could have done that, but the futility of such an act and the fact that
you're saying it's futile, but had the court, in fact, ruled at that time?
Yes. Well, with the exception of 60 days. But the court had indicated the law they were going to apply. They didn't say, well, we may apply the Fifth Circuit if you go do something. They said, we are applying the Ninth Circuit, it's void, and we're staying 60 days.
Well, what was the point of the stay?
At this point, we are unsure because the judge had already indicated he was going to apply the Ninth Circuit. And we couldn't go to the Ninth Circuit and seek a retroactive annulment of the stay because the Ninth Circuit law didn't apply. Going to the Fifth Circuit at that point, beside the fact that it would have taken...
Well, but we interpret the law, and to me, the Fifth Circuit law is pretty clear that unless you got that retroactive annulment, this violates the stay there, it violates the stay in the Ninth Circuit, it violates it everywhere.
But the fact of the matter is they still lack standing to raise that as a defense. They raised it as a defense to protect their interests. They speak of protecting their interests, but the fact remains, they did nothing to protect their interest throughout this whole.
Don't they have standing as a secured creditor in that bankruptcy proceeding, in this case, pursuant to our case law?
But if they'd gone to the Fifth Circuit, they could have raised the issue, but
But didn't your client file the quiet title to action and name them as a defendant?
We named the prior bank. They're their predecessor in interest.
Okay, but they're the assignee of the deed of trust, so they're the real party in interest now.
But at the time, they consented to the Fifth Circuit jurisdiction when they sought relief from the stay. So if they consented to the Fifth Circuit jurisdiction, then you know they had an ability to at least move to try and have the NOD deemed void. They didn't do that. They didn't say anything to the HOA.
But
they didn't
Texas
do anything.
Texas law or Fifth Circuit law places the burden of validating this on the proponent of the valid sale, and you're that person, and you didn't do it.
Counsel, you can respond to her question.
Very good. Thank you. Your Honor, and we disagree with that. The fact that the court, the plain meaning of the word voidable means that an act has to be taken to deem it void. Well, I respectfully disagree with Your Honor. The plain meaning of the word voidable means that they didn't intend it to be void until somebody does something to make it non-void. They intended it to be voidable upon the initiation of an action to deem it void. Thank you.
Thank you. We thank both counsel for their arguments this day. This matter will stand submitted. We're in.